others. We're happy and we're singing and we're colored. Give me a high five.
Body cold.
Frosty.
And I'm sold.
Frosty.
And I'm sold.
Saucy.
And my clothes.
Cost me.
Life for the party.
Party.
Always get it started.
Started.
And I sold.
Frosty.
And I sold.
Sauce.
I'm independent, got my own, got my own. And I can run the cash up if I want. And I stole saucy and my clothes.
Welcome to Bro Talk Live, the best show on the internet for you by us. BroTalkLive.com, always on the mark. It's your boy, Jay Sin, not Jay Urban. Let's kick it over to my main man, Dex. What up, bro?
Hey, guys. Dexter Stuckey here. Did you guys know today was Mariah Carey's birthday? I had no idea.
No, how old is she? 70?
I think she was 48 years old today.
Wow.
I believe that's what I saw, 48 years old today. But yeah, happy birthday, Mariah.
Happy birthday to a legend, Bill. On that note, you want to say happy birthday to a legend?
It was a wonderful day today.
Does she still have you blocked on all social channels?
She absolutely... Here's the thing. I'm not blocked on Instagram, but I'm re-blocked on Twitter. Like, she blocked me, and then she unblocked me as soon as she got that little divorce. And then she blocked me again. So I don't know what her deal is. Like, I legit need to understand. And I made phone calls.
To who?
Melanie Daniels. Not the Mariah. I don't know. I don't have her number anymore. But I know Melanie. Like, me and her know Melanie.
Who's Melanie?
And I called Melanie. Melanie Daniels is Mariah Carey's vocal coach.
Mariah's been doing her job for the last few years.
Vocal coach.
Now, come on.
A legit.
Melanie needs a new job. Okay.
So when Mariah started, Melanie Daniels was her vocal coach. Melanie's no longer coaching her because Melanie still has the oil. Okay. And so, I called Melanie and Melanie's like, I don't really talk to her that often. It's interesting.
Interesting. So shout out to Mariah Carey. Happy birthday to a legend, to a real one. Bro Talk Live. We right on the mark. We don't know where Ty is. Do we have any stories? Dex, they said you had to have a story this week and you didn't have one. So. Are they gonna beat you up now,
guys? I don't got nothing. All I got was Mariah.
I guess what I have to do. All right, Ty's not here to beat you up, so we'll just keep it moving. All right, the first question we're gonna talk about this week, Killer Mike. If you don't know who Killer Mike is, do you guys know who Killer Mike is? Do I have to refresh your memories?
Please.
Hey, a rapper.
Yeah, he's
an activist,
rapper.
Right?
Yeah, rapper slash actors, you can call him Bernie Sanders supporter slash stan. And he really was like the main black person who was standing up for Bernie Sanders during the whole campaign run in the Democratic Party. He was very vocal about his opinions, and he went on NRA TV and did an interview with another black young man. I don't know his name. Because I don't watch NRA TV and I didn't think it was important to the story to have his name.
They have a channel?
Yeah. You know. Why you know, once you get to those top tiers, when you pay like $300 a month for cable, you get like those channels that nobody actually wants. This is at the end of at the end of the TV guide. Like the 7,000s. That's probably where NRA TV is.
I gotta go look.
But hell, at least they on TV. We not. This is what he said about...
Not yet.
Yeah, but I'd rather not be on TV than be channel 3000. Like, the only time people come to you is when they accidentally pressed buttons for too long.
He said about the national protest, the walkout. What was the actual name for it? For the protest campaign? What was it called?
Well, that was just like a national walkout, but the one that happened this past weekend was March for Our Lives.
Okay. So, yeah, and they aired this, I think, on the day March of Our Lives happened, and it was about the school walkout, and they were also talking about, you know, gun reform and gun control and all that stuff. Killer Mike, who happens to be an advocate of the Second Amendment, said this: I told my kids on the school walkout, I love you, but if you walk out of that school, walk out of my house. We are a gun-owning family, but we are also a family that my sister farms. We're a family where we'll fish and hunt, but we are not a family that jumps on every single thing that an ally of ours does, because some stuff we just don't agree with. Killer Mike heard a lot of feedback from a lot of stuff. And, you know, a lot of people said this. At Killer Mike, the NRA doesn't care about black people. Why give them your time and credibility? At Darling Ebony said, Killer Mike clearly has not studied NRA history. When the Black Panthers were defending themselves against police brutality, which was slash is tyrannical government, and the very thing that 2A was meant for, the NRA supported gun control in the form of the Mulford Act, hashtag March for Our Lives. Well, because of that criticism, Killer Mike has decided to apologize. He apologized by saying in a couple of Instagram videos, my interview with said organization, talking about the NRA, who we all don't agree with, was supposed to be something that continued a conversation about African-American gun ownership. Why is that even important? Up until 54 years ago, we were in virtual apartheid, and some would argue that we are still are today. Some of our nuances are subtly different than those of our allies. We have to make sure that there are certain rights and demands that we make for our community. That's all my interview was about. It was done a week before. Sorry. It should have never been used to contrast with your march, and I think that's wrong. To the young people who work tirelessly to organize, I'm sorry adults chose to do this. I'm sorry NRA TV did that. I'm sorry that adults on the left and right are choosing to use me as a lightning rod. What I want to encourage you guys to do is to keep organizing. I do support the march, and I support black people owning guns. It's possible to do both. Welcome to the show, Tysine, as he screams in the background.
Holla. But last I thought
I was on mute. Joy Reid said, respectfully, talking to Killer Mike, NRA TV is not the equivalent of MSNBC, CNN, or CBS. It's not a news network. It's a video outlet for the NRA designed to push their propaganda. And it's propaganda that's demonstrably hostile to people who look like you and me. So, guys, what do you make of Killer Mike's whole week? The first video, the apology, do you feel like he has apologized appropriately enough, or do you feel like he should have apologized at all? What you think?
Can you put his comment back up? Like his initial comment?
The initial comment about, I told my kids during the school walkout?
Right.
I told my kids on the school walkout, I love you, but if you walk out that school, walk out my house.
Okay, so... When I'm reading this, like, I think this is foolish. It's possible to be pro-gun and also like pro-life. Like I can appreciate like wanting to own a gun, but also wanting to keep my life. Like, do I have to go to school to be shot up? Yikes. Like, do I have to choose? I want my children to be safe in school, or we have to get a gun. Like, why can't we, like, okay, let's go to Second Amendment and we all can get guns. But people who, let's say, I don't know, have mental instability issues don't get a damn gun. Like, it.
I just don't really understand, like, his whole purpose of this. Like, he's telling, like, I never think it's appropriate for anyone to say to their children, if you decide to use your free speech, like, you don't exist to me anymore. Like, you're somebody's father, and like, you should be teaching them values. And if they think that it's important for them to walk out to protest school shootings because they are school students, I feel like you should support that. Like, as a father, you should support that. Whether you like guns or not, like, you should support your child wanting to stand up for something in their life.
Well, he also stated that his daughter went to Savannah State, and they had a school shooting a couple of years ago. And when that school shooting happened, he said that him and his wife said that summer they went and got her a gun. They said, okay, we're going to go train, make sure that she knows how to use the gun. And that's what he said that they did. And then he apologizes, I guess, for saying that. I really don't understand the apology part. If you meant what you said, I just stick by it.
That's all I always say. If you say something, stand behind what you say. What are you apologizing for? If this is what you believe, own it.
Exactly.
Ty, are you here, Ty? Or are we still gone?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Do you have an opinion on the Killer Mike situation?
Yeah, I mean, I have an issue with this whole all or nothing idea. Like, and that's what people do. You have to take a side. Like, you can, we're not saying that you can't own a gun, but you don't necessarily need an AK. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's this all or nothing mentality. Why aren't your kids allowed to walk out? And I'm with Dexter. Like, if your kids are doing something, and I think that, and they're politically involved and they're informing themselves about what's going on, and they've made decisions for themselves and they're thinking for themselves, like, isn't that what you raise your kids to do? So why is it that when they do it now, because you disagree, you want to make a ridiculous statement? And then you are ridiculous for even apologizing, because stand by it. Like, if you're going to say something stupid, and you should have known it was stupid, when, like, you should, we shouldn't have to tell you it was stupid, and then you're saying, oh, I apologize for being stupid. Like, if you said it, then stand by it and argue, like, stand your ground.
The thing, he knew it was stupid when he said it, which is why he's out here apologizing, because he knew how stupid it was when he said it.
Do you think this will have an impact on how, like, you or other people view him in the future? Like, as far as
I didn't him at all. Him to begin with. Okay.
He's not important.
I wouldn't view it to him.
He wasn't important to me before.
All right. Well, I guess with that being said, we can just move right on along. was Tiffany? Did I spell that right? Is it two F's in Tiffany?
I don't know. I listen to a podcast, so I don't know how you wrote it.
Okay. I think I have one F in here, so maybe it's two. Was Tiffany cold in her response to Monique's Netflix situation? We talked about Monique and her boycott to Netflix a few weeks ago. Tiffany Haddish revealed, a couple of weeks later that she had a deal with Netflix, and she signed it way before she, talking about Monique, said a thing. And it's not legend money, but it's enough to take care of my family for a minute. Hashtag facts. Monique responded to that saying, you've done nothing wrong, my sister. You keep shining. I am proud of you. You keep doing what you're doing. You are making it better for the next ones. Love you to life. Tiffany Haddish also did a rather revealing interview with GQ that we'll talk more about later. But she also spoke in this same interview about Monique. And she said this, quote, my business run different than her business. I don't live her life. I don't have that husband of hers. Shade. I'm looking at how Netflix has opened up so many opportunities for black females in comedy. When my people are dying, that's when you're going to catch me protesting. I'm not going to protest because somebody got offered not the amount of money they wanted to get offered. If you didn't like what they offered you, you just no longer do business with them. If I protest Netflix, what about all the black shows that are on there? What about all the other actors that are working on there? All the Indians, the Hispanics, the Asians, my show, the Carl Michael Show, airs on there right now, and it ain't on NBC. Guys, how do you feel about Tiffany's comments? Were they kind of cold toward Monique in the Netflix situation? Dex, what you think?
You know what Tiffany does, and Monique too? They do a lot of this. Mm-hmm. They do a lot of this. They do a lot of talking.
They do a lot of press.
They talk too much.
A lot of press.
Be quiet and be funny. Now I sound like Laura Ingram. Be quiet and be funny. Like, that's it. Like, stop talking so much. You talk too much. Like, my grandmom is literally rolling over her grave just knowing about these two, because they talk so damn much. Like, every time
she's keeping up in heaven, she keeping up to the drama.
My grandmom is dying all over again because she couldn't stand when people talk too much. And they just run their mouth. This girl literally wrote Tiffany Haddish a tweet about something, and Tiffany Haddish felt the need to respond to it. Girl, you're not doing an interview. You're tweeting. Shut up, Donald Trump. Like, you just too much of it. Like, enough. And then Monique, like, this girl does not miss an opportunity to run their mouth. like y'all need to go cash some checks while y'all running them these mouths, like, flapping them. Enough is enough, girls. Come on.
Tiffany is cashing checks, though.
Not for long. Not for long.
Don't do that to her.
She did it to herself.
She did it to herself.
Didn't she just win Woman of the Year at the BroTalk Awards?
You know what's crazy? After, like, I know we're getting to it later on, but after that whole Beyonce stuff came out, I'm like, you never win another award on this show. Like, we're done with you. Like, enough is enough. You're talking too much.
She is done.
What did y'all feel about Tiffany Haddish? Do you feel like she was cold towards Monique? Was she rude, Bill Ty?
I feel like she probably would have been rude if she said, I love us for real. But the truth of the matter is, she ain't got that husband of hers. And Tiffany was cashing checks. But like Dex said, these two run, they might, like, they're, I mean, back in the day, it used to be a saying, loose lips sink ships. Snitches get stitches and end up in ditches. Like, why are y'all talking about every little thing so much? Just
I mean, hush up.
Real quick, I'm gonna say this last thing. There was a great philosopher. She once said, "Your mouth makes a perfect cage for your tongue if you just close your teeth."
Oh, what was her name?
That's Little Kim.
Yeah, but I think when Little Kim said that, she was giving Tim so.
No, thank you, Tex.
Ty, what were you going to say before we went left?
I
mean,
I do agree in some sense that they do need to be quiet. But to answer your question, I don't think she was too harsh. I think that she spoke the truth. And I think that that was kind of my whole stance. I'm like, I'm here boycotting Netflix. First of all, I'm only paying. If anything, I boycotted, it went up like $12. Like, that's a reason for boycott.
That's a reason to boycott.
Netflix, right? You just have it, and every once in a while, you throw something on.
Yeah, do you have your own Netflix account, or do you share someone else's? Because I share someone else's.
My wife and I have one.
Okay. Do you guys share?
No, she had it way before she met me.
No, I'm saying Dex and Bill.
I have my own that I pay for, but I'm currently looking for anybody that's trying to share that password, because I'm through paying.
You accepting applications?
Any applications.
I pay for my Netflix. But you know what's crazy, though? As soon as I heard you say, like, I use somebody else's, my mind got to thinking, people have been using my Netflix since college. And it's like, it's a bunch of people on there. You know what? I'm going to change my password as soon as this show is over.
That's it.
You got some profiles down there that you got to click on?
I literally have 6 profiles.
People don't even create profiles. They just go watch a show. And you know, we're all watching the same stuff now. And a couple times I've been watching shows, I'm like, dang, I didn't know this. I was this far along. But all right, here I go. Now I just figured out why.
They've been skipping episodes on you. See, you didn't even know.
One time, Dex, do me a favor.
I got kicked off because somebody else was on it,
and I was about to lie.
Dex, I need you to do me a favor. When you change that password, swing it my way, okay? Because I'm through paying. I'm like, yes, Ty, thanks. I got kicked off because somebody else was watching it, and then they text me like, "Dang, you using Netflix right now?" Excuse me, I'm paying the bill.
The nerve of you!
You called the nerve.
Come back. You kicked off. I'm like, now how does this happen? You gotta text around. Are you on my Netflix? Yeah, I'm watching such and such. Get off. I'm on it.
Live tweet just came in from Ashley Joy, who's very upset with me right now. She said that there is no way that Tiffany Haddish can shut up and be funny at the same time. I disagree with that. I feel like Tiffany Haddish can be quiet. She could zip those lips and get on the stage and make a check and then be funny that way. Thanks for watching.
Wow.
I love us.
Moving on. Excited for the Cash Money reunion. Great news, guys. The Birdman and Lil Wayne were spotted together out in the club, and they took an Instagram picture that the Birdman posted saying, "Me and my son, YMCM Beast." Drake responded with the mind blown emoji and the hand clap. So he's very excited about that. They also took another picture in different outfits. So this leads me to believe that this was a different day or a different week, because, you know, sometimes
it was the same night.
Clothes. It's a different week.
Same night.
And they're posted up here in the club as well. So looks like those two are back on good terms. No word on the $50 million lawsuit. Manny Fresh is also back in the fold. They have released a song with the Bird. Why are you laughing?
The fold.
I just got so many comments, but go ahead.
Manny Fresh is back in the fold. And they have a song out called Designer Caskets. I guess they're burying the rest of their career, and they're going to put it to rest with this one last song to get it out there. So that now that the Birdman has Manny Fresh and his son back, he can now get rid of his other two sons. Jacquees has been arrested. One of the Birdman's new children. He was one of Lil Wayne's replacements. But he was arrested in Miami because he was driving a Lamborghini without a seatbelt. The police pulled him over, and then he sped off. And then they called him again.
I think the important story is here. He was driving a Lamborghini. Where'd he get the money?
Oh, the Birdman. That's his new son. And
teaches people.
Are we talking about something like Sugar Daddy? Or?
But it is also reported that Young Thug has taken the breakup quite. he's here seeing strolling in the park.
He is tiptoeing through the tulips with a parka on.
They said that Sarah Bareilles was off in the distance playing a violin or something like that while he was strolling through the park.
He's clearly skipping. Like, what are you talking about? There's no stroll there. He's skipping.
is a prance if I've ever seen one.
So are we excited for the new state of Cash Money Records?
No.
Do you know? Sure. If you guys are coming out with new music, new content, then let's
get it. The Carta 5 should be out this year.
And hugging each other in the club. Like, what do we care about that for?
The Carta 5 should be out this year.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's throw it out there. New content, new music. People can enjoy it. I'm here for that. But what I'm not here for is the fact that we're currently in 2018, right? And I know we've all made mistakes in the past. But could you imagine... in the year 2004, you're on the top of your game, right? And you're like, I'm untouchable. I can literally do anything. And you go out there with your son and your friends, your son being Lil Wayne, and your friends, and you guys get tattoos all over your face. And now we're in 2018, and you're literally standing there wanting people to take you serious and your music, and it's like, you have tattoos on your face. Like, it is the stupidest thing. You guys just really... be careful, guys, if you're out there. Just don't fall into the issues of 2018 and, like, let this mess carry on in the future, because you could end up looking like Lil Wayne and Birdman. That's it.
I saw somebody in Philly with tattoos in their face, and they had, and he couldn't have any money. So I'm like, I don't know what you're going to do.
The only thing I was excited for was in 1999 when they were taking over for the 99 and 2000. I don't know what they're doing these days.
Danny Fresh, goodness gracious, sir.
And Young the no thank you, let's move on.
Get Manny Fresh a bra and keep it moving.
Probably out of Young Thug's closet.
Not touching that.
You know Young Thug got one for him.
Nah, it's not big
you
enough,
know, sure. He got one.
They two different size
did
cups.
Did we ever get a hold of that wedding dress?
That picture that Jason posted was, oh God, this is a story. Can we move fast past this?
Question, will this work? DMX, rapper, aka, what's his name, Earl Thomas or something?
Earl Simmons.
Earl Thomas is a football player. He's currently awaiting sentencing after pleading guilty to tax fraud for avoiding $1.7 million in taxes over the course of 5 years. He said, quote, I failed to file taxes. He said, I'm responsible, even placing other people in charge of it. Prosecutors in this case are seeking a 5-year prison sentence to teach young Earl a lesson.
Why are you trying to put a black man in jail? You don't need 5 years for no damn tax. Shut up.
According to court documents, DMX's legal team, though, has a unique plan in place to sway the judge's opinion. They're going to play his songs at his sentencing. DMX's attorney, Murray Richmond, says that he plans to play a few of DMX's songs at Thursday's sentencing so that the judge, quote, will understand him genuinely in his voice. He explains that DMX may be too emotional to speak, and he says that the songs will be, quote, raw Earl, and we are not here or desirous or molding him into what some may want to see. Earl is uniquely him, and that is both his beauty of mind and his genius. He has reportedly already sent the judge lyrics to songs called Slippin' and The Combo, as well as other unnamed songs. And I do have the lyrics, the first bit of lyrics on the song Slippin'. Earl. It says, the intro goes, this life shit is like, it's like bug the F out, son, for real. See, to live is to suffer, but to survive, well, that's to find meaning in the suffering. Ayo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up. Ayo, I'm slipping,
I can't get up. Ayo, I'm slipping, I gotta get up. Oh my God. DMX is like literally one of my favorite rappers, like probably my favorite rapper. Like, I love,
I tell you right now,
I absolutely love him.
For 10 years.
For 10 years.
This fool is not Michael Jackson. He get to play that. What you really want from a nigga? You are going for a good 10 years, Earl. I want this legal team to call me asexually so that they can mix this out. There's no way he's, you're right. He's not going to get 5 years playing that music. They're going to give him 10 for being a coon.
To be honest with you, I do think though, if they were to send DMX's music in there, I think this is actually a pretty good idea, because I remember last summer I went to Atlantic City to see DMX live in concert. And like, again, I love DMX, but like seeing him and like watching him like perform, like you see that there's just so much like pain and stuff in this man. Like it really is. It's sad. It's very sad actually to like see him. And like, he's literally a shell of what you guys remember him as. Like, he is not the same person who he was back in 1999. And like, the drugs have truly taken over that man's body.
Seeing him hauled off to jail, because that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
But I'm just saying, I think though,
they don't care about no black man and no sad story with no taxes. They putting his ass in jail.
You know,
and the sad thing is,
in fact, they might draw up some charges before he gets there.
But even with DMX though, like, we actually posted this exclusively on the Bro Talk Live's Twitter page, Instagram page. During that concert that I was at is when he actually revealed that, like, you know, it, with the tax stuff, it was like people that he had managed in his books. So he actually might be telling the truth there, and hopefully that he could, hopefully he gets off. Like, I'm always praying for DMX, because
I do hope he gets off.
I just want to see him. Pass in peace, you know, like
what?
Like, I'm saying, like, I wanted him to go forth like in peace, like if he's
Dex, I'm about to say, not this transitional prayer, like, what in the world?
It's just every time you see him in the news, it's bad. It's like never good anymore. It's sad, and it's just like, I
too love DMX, but the thing is, like, he's always not like me, though. Like, he's
no girl. Well, y'all didn't meet him. Okay, we saw he's the Ion episode. Been like, we met him.
Crackhead. Like, he's just always been a crackhead. He's always gonna be a crackhead. Like, that's
and sad, and that's so sad. Like, we really talk so much about like mental illness and stuff these days, and I just wish DMX got that same. I'm the same support and same respect. Like, prayers to DMX.
Like the bar.
I'm not doing that.
Hold up, Dex. Do you like Dex? If you had to pick, if a building was on fire, you had to pick one to go rescue. Would you rescue Colin Kaepernick or DMX? I'm just curious.
DMX.
Without hesitation. This is amazing.
I would.
No. You asking the wrong question. If you had to rescue Ashanti or DMX, who would you rescue?
We'll discuss Ashanti tonight. Yeah, we'll move on.
Details at 11.
It'll probably be around that time we get to the section.
Racist. Time for best segment of the show. Actually, the most depressing segment of the show. Did you guys see this commercial? It is a Heineken commercial. And I'll just narrate it for you. So, as you see, the guy has binoculars and he sees a Caucasian or some type of light, fair-skinned lady at the end of the table. He throws a beer across the bar. I'm just narrating for the people on the podcast. The beer goes past a couple of people and it ends up at a glass with the caption, "Sometimes lighter is better." Ooh. And the fair-skinned woman takes the beer and puts it down there on the table. Do you guys see anything like maybe just a little wrong with that? Something like it's not as
black people to be like, nah. That's all you gotta do. Like, your job, like, is to go watch their stupid shit and go, nah.
But
I saw that commercial and did not think anything of it though. Like, I just never got that from the commercial.
I don't think it's racist. I think it's realistic because, you know, if I'm going to a bar and there's a beer being passed me, I'm going to sit down. Ain't no black people reaching for that. Like, it's not for us. And it's a light beer, so maybe lighter is better, but it ain't for me.
Chance the Rapper decided to go on Twitter and he said, quote, "I think some companies are purposely putting out noticeably racist ads so that they can get more views, and that is racist and bogus, so I guess I shouldn't help by posting about it." But I gotta just say though, the "Sometimes lighter is better" Heineken commercial is terribly racist. OMG. I'm not saying boycott them or go off. I'm just noticing how often it happens, and I think they are baiting consumers and tweeters and freelancers and stuff. Like, I didn't want to tweet about it so bad, but it's like, how can you not?
You don't.
Look at him. It's this another one. He's like Donald Trump. And talk to him.
Everything that's ever happened, ever. Like, you don't. You just don't. Like, that's how you not do it. There, you know, that Sean King guy will do more than enough.
More than enough for everybody.
He'll do more than enough tweets and posts to last the entire Black community that you didn't need to add your commentary. So if you didn't want to bring attention to it, then don't do it. Let Sean King handle it.
What Ty said, retweet that.
Wow. Okay. Moving on. Michael Bennett, newly acquired defensive tackle for the Philadelphia Eagles. He has been kind of in the crossfires of some drama. And back in Houston, last year's Super Bowl, not this past Super Bowl, but the Super Bowl back in 2017, when the Patriots played against the Atlanta Falcons, I believe it was. He was accused of assaulting a woman. Now, according to the Houston office's statement, Bennett pushed past security after the game, including a 66-year-old paraplegic stadium employee, as he rushed onto the field to celebrate the Patriots' win with his brother Martellus, who was playing on New England. A warrant was issued for his arrest. He was accused of ignoring instructions from multiple security guards who told him to use another access point to get onto the field. Instead, they say that he pushed through the crowd and injured a paraplegic security guard. And they said that the injury of the elderly charge carries a maximum penalty of 10 years in prison and a $10,000 fine. And a $10,000 fine. The Police Department Chief of Houston, Art Acevedo, held a press conference shortly after that announcement, saying that Bennett was morally corrupt, morally bankrupt. And he said, quote, "I think it's pretty pathetic that you put your hands on a 66-year-old paraplegic and treat them like they don't exist." He also said that there's no video evidence of the incident and charges are based off of an account of another police officer.
That's hearsay.
Who was on duty the night that the Patriots came back to beat the Falcons. Authorities did not pursue the case for more than a year. The police chief says, because of a lack of resources and the belief that Bennett did not pose an immediate threat to society. But now apparently he does. Michael Bennett turned himself in and was taken into custody. After posting bail, which said it's $10,000, he has been permitted to return to his home in Hawaii, though he must not have contact with his accuser, the paraplegic.
He didn't have contact with
him. Hold up a second. Because he didn't have communication with him to begin with. That's number one. He wasn't getting communicated with by him.
As we all know, Bennett has a book coming out next week, and he has been one of the more outspoken NFL players on the issue of police officer shootings. Last fall, Michael Bennett also said that Las Vegas Police Department officers handcuffed him and threatened to blow his effing head off after mistakenly identifying him as a possible shooter. Guys, do you think this is at all racially motivated?
Yes, because the Las Vegas Police Department hadn't done their job since 1996 when Tupac got killed. So I don't want them to start doing it now. Okay? That's number one. We want to know who killed Tupac.
They solved this mystery faster than they solved the Tupac thing.
Listen, it's 20 years later. Y'all out here trying to figure out who done shot whom. Y'all need to go and find that out. That's number one.
Well, they found out who pushed down the paraplegic. So they're at once.
Listen, show me proof. You telling me that another officer heard it? That's hearsay. I watch enough Judge Judy to know the law. That is hearsay, and it's inadmissible in court. I love Judge Judy. Thank you.
Dex, how do you feel about the police chief saying that Michael Bennett is morally bankrupt?
My favorite insult ever. And you know I'm about to start using that because, you know, that's a good one. Like, morally corrupt, morally bankrupt. I'm here for that. To be honest with you, I don't have an issue with this because I don't like when people are in situations, whatever, and they get super rowdy and they push people and stuff. Like, I hate that.
But Michael Bennett says that he never touched this lady. He said he doesn't know what she's talking about. He never touched the lady. That's what he says.
I mean, like, they got to prove it. You know, we got to have some type of proof or whatever. You have to prove that he did it.
The security guard?
You have to prove it, but what about the police chief automatically jumping and jumping to a conclusion and saying that this guy's morally bankrupt?
Look, you can't be taking pictures with Colin Kaepernick and being out here with these
people. Oh, come on.
You can't be doing all that because
that alone. Because like, that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Like, where is this paraplegic? Did they come out?
They don't exist. They don't exist. They never exist.
Why is a paraplegic being stadium crew for the Super Bowl? Like, what's happening?
Very much security if you just got knocked right out the way. First,
no, don't you be that person.
Second of all,
it's respect. But think about this, though.
The story's not true. Like, they're trying to do the same thing they did to poor Donald Trump and try to talk about he was making fun of these people. Like, it didn't happen.
Poor Donald actually did it. We saw it on TV. It was recorded.
Can we actually...
With this situation, you know how normally...
They didn't come lock up Donald Trump, so they can't lock him up either.
You know how normally...
Can we actually run through this scenario?
Huh?
No, we can't.
You know how normally situations like this, the people will settle outside of court. This paraplegic person does not exist. So they're saying you can't have contact with them because we don't want you to try to find them, settle outside of court and make this go away. Oh, that's a mugshot there. We don't want you to find them and, you know, get rid of the situation. So we'll see what happens.
I really just don't think
so. Period. Here's another legal team I actually want to contact me because I would run through this in court.
Why's anybody contacting you? Like, what legal degree do you have?
Just 1 second. Listen, let's run through this for just 30 seconds. A wheelchair for a paraplegic is a heavy piece of equipment, at least 150 pounds. You're telling me that one person ran through that, knocked you out of your chair, and nobody noticed?
Well, maybe they didn't have a wheelchair. Maybe they were on stilts, the arm stilts.
Yeah, possibility.
They were securing a game with the arm stilts. Look, paraplegics can work too, and maybe they were just like the ticket takers because they do have. I don't understand why he was so close, or why Miss Barbara, the 66-year-old paraplegic, was so close to the field at the end of the game. Like, she should have gotten out the way.
Celebration, just like he was trying to do.
She should have known, though. It would have been chaos.
I don't know. Like, I mean,
it's a Super Bowl.
I'd be ignorant. The other stuff before was just a joke. But I don't understand this story. I just don't think it's true. Like, it doesn't.
You made it up. You don't think Barbara exists?
I don't. I would like to see Barbara, and I would like for her to speak for herself.
You sound like them people that be doubting them, those rape accusers.
Let's wait for all the facts.
At the very least, they come forward and let us hear their side of the story. And it's like, you have to judge for yourself, and really it's none of your business because those two people are show up in court. Who is this person? Where are they?
Time for Q&A.
Time for Q&A. Send us your questions. Like, no. Time for Q&A. The most exciting part of the show. I actually do like this part because we get to really interact with you all. Topic one, I hope my lover doesn't get hired, which I thought was an interesting one that we might enjoy. Topic number two, vegetarian problem.
Second week in a row.
Dex wrote that.
Topic three, is smiling rude? And topic four, cruising with mom, which is also a very funny one. Yeah, it's my personal opinion.
Ty, you pick two.
If I pick two, I pick both blue.
All right, both blue. Here we go.
Maybe we could do the vegetarian problems one quickly too, just because it was there last week.
I think we have time for it. I was recently hired because a friend recommended me for a position in his company. Let's call the company X. I'm really excited about the work, and I liked the team and manager when I met them in the interview. I'll start in a few weeks. My partner has also been looking for a job for the last several months. He is quite miserable at his current company. He and I work in the same field, so my friend recommended him for a position at the company X as well. It now looks like company X is moving forward with my partner's application and will be interviewing him in the upcoming week. He will be interviewing for the same team that hired me. The position for which he is interviewing does not report to mine, or vice versa. Before I accepted the job, I didn't think that I would have a problem with company X interviewing both my partner and me. Now that I have the position, though, I'm having second thoughts about working together. I'd like to think we can be completely professional with each other at work, but I recognize that working on the same team as your partner has many potential pitfalls, professional and personal. I brought this up with him. He acknowledged my concern, but wants to move forward with the interview. He thinks any awkwardness that might result from our working together would be worth it if he can leave his current position. I feel selfish about asking my partner to withdraw his application, knowing how miserable he is now. But I'm really concerned and tempted to push back harder. Is it reasonable to not want to work on the same team as my partner? Am I overreacting, especially since he doesn't have the job yet? And if Company X hires him, what kind of boundaries do successful co-worker couples negotiate to keep everyone on the same team comfortable and maintain professionalism? I kind of like that one, right? That was interesting.
Yeah, so it's long. It's something
wordy.
It was quite wordy. I thought it was interesting.
It was wordy, but it was interesting. I think that you were bold for saying that you considered asking him to withdraw his application. I mean, he needed a job. Damn.
I'll let you guys speak first.
I mean, just because you think it's awkward doesn't mean that someone has to just withdraw their application. Yeah, I mean, everyone needs a job. That's a little bold. If he's qualified for the job and he has a fair shot at getting it too. I mean, I understand you being uncomfortable, but that's not a reason for you to make him withdraw his application. I don't know what it's, well, I work with my wife, but we don't work in like nearly like the same department. Like I maybe see her a couple of times a month or something like that. So it's not like we work together. So I've never been in that situation, but if you guys are on the same team, I guess you guys just have to act like you don't know each other. I mean, I don't know. Ty, you have experience with that, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I'm going to speak last. I'd be interested to hear what the rest of you had to say.
No, I want
to
hear what I got to say. So, Will, I mean,
I do want to hear what you have to say now.
Absolutely not, Dex. You can
like,
go next.
Like in the first line, you say your partner's miserable where at his current job. He has an opportunity to go to your job where you are and you're happy. Like,
but then she's going to be miserable too. He's going to want to be miserable too. So there you go.
You're going to be miserable because a person you're going to be miserable. I hate that people do stuff like this. Like you're saying that you think you're going to be miserable if your partner works there. Like let the person get the job, work the job, and then talk about how you feel. But like, why are you getting yourself worked up and creating issues that don't need to be created? This person's miserable at their job. We've all worked a job that we were miserable at. We want to get out of there. And it's like, they have an opportunity to get out. You should encourage them to get the hell out of that miserable job. Because think about it. Would you rather be miserable with your partner being happy with you or whatever this place, or would you want to be miserable because you have to hear about them complaining about their damn job every single day? Who wants to deal with that?
Especially after they didn't take it because you asked them not to.
Like, come on.
Like, that's even worse. William?
Yeah, that would be terrible.
I'm going to go ahead and say, if you love your partner as much as you say you do, then I think you'll be all right with your partner being.
I don't know if they actually said they love them at all in here. Oh,
I guess I just assume that since y'all were partners, but
I mean, that's a good point, Bill. If they actually like each other, then I mean, it shouldn't be that big of a deal.
I don't think, right. Like, I don't think it should be that big of an issue, especially since I don't know if y'all won't be on the same team or y'all not in the same department. Like, okay, y'all on the same team. Y'all on the same team now.
They're on the same team, like, but they don't report to either. Like, they don't report to each other.
And that's what I'm saying. So y'all are together, so y'all on the same team. Like, grow up. It's a job. You can, like, do what Dex says. You can be miserable because your partner is at work with you and you don't even really know how that's going to work. Or you can be miserable because, let's say your partner decides they're so miserable that they quit their job. How about that? Now your partner's out here with no job and complaining because they ain't got no job because now they're miserable. And they didn't take the job you asked them not to take.
And you paying all the bills.
I think that bringing this up, the amount, your question is, should you push harder? And the answer is no, you should not. I think that you were bold in to say what you've already said. And I think once your partner acknowledges that it's not a big deal, you can just fall back. I do think, however, that you all can have a conversation if he gets the job about how you want to act on the job. Have a conversation about that. My wife and I did used to work together when we were dating, and it actually wasn't a big deal at all. Like, I did my job, she did hers, and that was that. Like, we didn't even have lunch together because our schedules didn't line up. So it was like not even a big deal. I did ask if she wanted to come work with me again. She said no. I don't know why. That's on her. You have to ask her why. I think working with you would be awesome. I think I lost my train of thought being ridiculous, but I just think that it's not okay for you to, like, if your partner's unhappy and excited about a possibility of getting a new job and you guys work in the same field, like, it's a possibility that you end up working together. And I don't think that should be a big deal, especially if you guys supposedly like each other, but do set some boundaries about how you want to act at work, which is completely professional. Like, what are you going to do? Like, have a quickie in a copy room? Like, you're not going to, what are you going to do? Like, you're going to act like a normal person.
It happens.
Jason.
Moving on.
Next question. This is the one from last week.
Yep.
I'm getting married later this year, finally, and my husband, my father, sorry.
What? Oh, wasn't it?
I think it's just relief.
Okay.
Finally. And
probably a recycled ring.
At one of my choices. My fiance and I are both vegetarian for moral and environmental reasons. This is an important part of our lifestyle and our relationship. So it seems like a no-brainer for us to have a vegetarian wedding. Catering a large event, including meat, seems ridiculous to us, considering that we avoid meat in our daily lives. My father thinks this is extremely rude and that we are, even Bella doesn't like it, forcing our beliefs on our guests. He thinks we should have a traditional meat entree since most of our guests will not be vegetarian. I think that everyone can survive one meatless meal. What are your thoughts? P.S. I'm black, and so is my fiance, so be, sorry, reminded of the feedback we may get from our families.
You be mindful of the feedback for your family. I currently am trying to live a pescatarian life. My girlfriend does that too. And like, for me, ideally, when we get married, I would love to have like no meat there. However, my family's from Mississippi. That's not going to fly. You know what I mean by that. And you're going to have meatless. You're going to have meat there. That's it.
Hold on, Dex. If you said there was no, you said there was no meat at the wedding.
Like, if I told my relatives, like, we're not having meat, they'd be like, okay, well, I was barely gonna come anyway. Now I'm definitely coming. Like, it's like saying I don't drink alcohol, so I don't want to have alcohol there. People are not coming.
I'm with Dexter. So I thought about this for a while, and like, Dexter changed my opinion that quickly. Because initially I was gonna say, you know, just do whatever. But at my wedding, like, I offered a lot of things that I wouldn't personally eat. Like, because I know, like, I had some bacon wrapped in some bull crap. I wouldn't eat that, but apparently it was gone. So somebody ate it. Like, these, I don't think that you necessarily have to offer things. Like, I could see if you were vegan and it was like, I don't know. I just think you should just have it for your family.
But their reasons are moral and environmental. So those are the reasons. If that's their reason, why would they order a very large amount of the stuff that they're morally and environmentally against? Like, because it's going to be a very large amount.
Because other people that you're inviting, they're not morally and environmentally against it. That's why.
But you are.
I mean, but if you have a strong moral conviction and you're willing to bend on your morals, then your morals ain't really all that high.
You're not bending on anything. It's for other people. So, it's not for you.
So here's what I believe. Unless these people are helping to pay for the wedding, I don't necessarily. I mean, you should send out an invitation. Listen,
well, that's tacky.
I mean, you gonna have some squash soup and some salad?
That's very tacky to bring somebody to an event. That's tacky. Beliefs. Don't do that. Will you get married?
Don't come.
Don't do that.
Oh my gosh! Please. So you think there's a problem with that, Bill? So you would offer it than what you eat, a typical vegetarian meal.
That's tacky.
Beans out of a can and stuff like that.
Here's the thing. Is it possible now? I've never been married. So is it possible that they can get their food to be vegetarian food, their vegetarian dishes, and have everybody else enjoy what they want to enjoy?
Yeah, you can get what you want. You can get two plates like a vegetarian, and everyone else can have meat.
So what's the problem? What y'all?
Because you're morally sponsoring something that you're against.
You're not sponsoring it. You're making
hundreds of people.
So my question is,
put them vegetarian plates on y'all head table and y'all go about your business.
If your family is not helping you pay for this wedding and you're paying for it by yourself, then do it your way.
But even if your family is helping you,
put it in check. Like, people are helping you pay for this wedding, then no, you can't do everything you want to do. So then you do have to, like, if you're going to take on financing the entire wedding, then you do it your way and have to do it.
Even if somebody else is helping you with it, you still have to be accommodating of other people. Even if you're putting all the money into it yourself, you have to be accommodating of other people. Like, why would you even invite somebody to something where they're going to be like, they're going to look at this food and be like, I don't want this. Like, why? Like, what's that? That's just stupid.
Yeah, sure. I see that, Dex.
All right. We took a little longer on this question, so we're going to have to save the other two for next week.
This is a good question. I liked it.
See, I thought it was a waste, a leftover. If you have more questions, Ty, where'd they go?
Send us your questions, brotalklive.com/questions. Bruise around the website, buy some items, look at our bios from 10 years ago and see how we've transitioned. You know how it is.
Tis the time. We're going to make this really fast. March Madness, we're going to wrap this thing on up. We're down to the final Bad Boy versus Rockefeller. We played this game on Bro Talk Live's Instagram channel. We also played it on the Brackify Bracket through the brotalklive.com site. And we will talk about who won. But first, guys, who do you guys pick? Bad Boy versus Rockefeller and the greatest record labels of all time in their prime.
Bad Boy.
I'm going to go Bad Boy, too.
Is it a clean sweep, Dex? Rockefeller had Jay-Z, no, Kanye.
I'm going to go with Rockefeller.
I can understand that, too.
But I'm Jay-Z, Kanye, Freeway, Beanie Siegel. Versus Biggie, Puff Daddy, and Lil Kim, and Faith Evans, really. Those are the top four.
Diddy single-handedly changed the way we listen to music.
Jay-Z single-handedly changed the way we live life.
Kanye changed the way we listen to music, too. Kanye might be the biggest artist out of all these people.
Cameron had guys in the hood wearing pink.
Cameron did have guys in the hood wearing pink. You're right about that.
Kanye still
feel it in the air when Benny Siegel comes on. Like, what are you talking about?
Here's the thing. Kanye didn't change the music until after Diddy did it, and Jay-Z didn't start rapping into the way he did until after Big died.
So. And they both do it better than their predecessors.
That's anything.
That is a hot take.
I'm a Kanye fan, and that's anything to say.
Kanye West is better than Diddy?
Kanye West is better than Diddy, but I wouldn't say Jay-Z is. Jay-Z, that's arguable.
Biggie Smalls is the greatest rapper of all time, and nobody's allowed to rap better than him.
All right, well, you got 112 in Mace and Carl Thomas. You have all those smaller acts. I think that just overpowers Rockefeller for me.
Right.
I mean, you have a larger roster, but like, I think just with the heavy hitters of Rockefeller alone, like, I really think they put Bad Boy to bed.
But all these people was popping at the same time.
If you take the heavy hitters of Bad Boy and put them up against the heavy hitters of Rockefeller, there's no
heavy hitters of, like, all these people, like, this is the roster at their greatest. So all these people was active at the same time.
But think about it, though. Like, when you said, like, this is the roster at their greatest, none of these people are making a splash currently right now.
Right.
So everybody on this list was good in their heyday. All of them. Everybody on this list. Even Sean. Everybody. But I'm saying, like, longevity with that as well. Like, the Rockefeller guys are still doing stuff. You know what I mean? Like,
But in their peak, who was hotter? Bad Boy or Rockefeller?
I would say Rockefeller.
Bad Boy, without a doubt.
Jason, you have to either tie it or like, let us know how we're ending this. But like, I really think it's Rockefeller. I do.
Because even Mary J was over there on Bad Boy once or twice.
I think I'm going to go with Bad Boy. Yeah, because you're right. Mary J did come in and out, but during this time, she was not there. She was there kind of before, and then she did come back after. Just for the poll on the Brackify, Interscope won. Apparently, a lot of our Caucasian brothers is just like the Eminem portion of the poll, and they decided to vote for Interscope.
I don't want to say anything else in anything.
Well, that was the Interscope with 50, Eminem, the game. That was pretty big G unit. That was big. Dr. Dre. Death Row came in second, and Bad Boy came in third. They're on that list. The numbers there and the parentheses were their seeds. So, yeah, Interscope, according to the poll on the brotalklive.com, won this challenge. All right, moving on. Who bit Beyonce? If you haven't heard the story Tiffany Haddish told to GQ magazine, she said last December they were at a party and there was an actress there, she says, and she was just doing the mostest, according to Tiffany Haddish. One of the most things that she did, quote, was she bit Beyonce in the face. Tiffany declined to name who the actress was, but she said, so Beyonce stormed away, went up to Jay-Z and was like, Jay, come here, this is B, and snatched him. And they went to the back of the room and I was just like, what just happened? And Beyonce's friend walked up and was like, can you believe this B just bit Beyonce? According to Tiffany, she and the actress continued to cross paths throughout the night, ending in a brief standoff. The actress at one point told Tiffany Haddish to stop dancing. And then Beyonce and Jay-Z walked by Tiffany and Tiffany says she tapped Beyonce. She says that she told Beyonce, I'm going to beat somebody's A at your party. I want you to know that. Beyonce asked her not to and to have fun. But near the end of the party, Tiffany said, Beyonce's at the bar. And I said to Beyonce, did she really bite you? She was like, yeah. And I was like, she gonna get her ass beat tonight. And Beyonce was like, Tiffany, no, don't do that. That chick is on drugs. She's not even drunk. That chick is on drugs. She's not like that all the time. Just chill. Huffington Post did a bunch of interviews with people's publicists like Kathy Bates and Sherry Lynn McClain, all these like high level actresses who wouldn't have been at a Jay-Z party anyway. I don't know why they did that. And they also took comments from a number of people, including Meryl Streep, Ellen DeGeneres, like people who wouldn't be at a typical Jay-Z rap party. But whatever. Neither here nor there. Some of the people that are rumored to have maybe bit Beyonce in the face that may fit the profile: Rihanna, Taylor Swift, Jennifer Lawrence, and we also have, sorry, not BS report yet, Gwyneth Paltrow, who's this in the middle? Amy Schumer and Lena Dunham. So guys, I want the two likeliest. I want us to do the two likeliest people to maybe have bitten Beyonce out of these six.
Dunham.
Or for somebody else, let me know.
Dunham.
Gwyneth Paltrow because she wants to be Beyonce. Or Lena Dunham, just because we know what her history's like.
Dunham.
You're wrong with that Gwyneth Paltrow one. The answer, the biter.
The other way around?
No, and I don't think it's... Yeah, absolutely. Beyonce was Gwyneth Paltrow. You see her. Slowly morphing into that white woman every day. The person who bit her, though, I think it was Jennifer Lawrence, because this was around like the Oscars. And remember when they had that picture of Jennifer Lawrence drunk ass, like just doing the absolute most. So she was climbing over like seats and stuff like
that. Oh, yeah. She was acting real stupid.
Mm-hmm. I see it being her. And then
TMZ is reporting that it was Sanaa Lathan. And
Sanaa Lathan ain't biting.
Sanaa Lathan said it wasn't her.
Yeah,
she said it wasn't her. But TMZ saying that it was a playful bite.
Whatever. Why would you playfully bite somebody in the face?
Don't play. I will playfully punch right the teeth.
But I also saw that they asked Queen Latifah if she was the person who did it.
And she said no comment.
Yeah, but Queen Latifah's mother passed last week and y'all reached out to her with some BS like this.
Right.
Really?
Yeah, that's a little distasteful.
Here's the other thing.
Which explains the no comment. That perfectly explains it.
Like, come on.
Like, why would you even? I'm like, yeah, that's dumb.
This is another
case. Saying,
she talks too much. Like, Beyonce and Jay, everybody sign NDAs. Yes. You bumping them gums again. You'll never be at another Beyonce party or another Jay-Z party.
I know we're like over in time, but like I was talking to a friend yesterday and she actually believes that this whole Tiffany Haddish stuff with Beyonce is a setup by Beyonce's camp. And what she's saying is what she believes album. is that what she believes is that they're using Tiffany Haddish to put this information and stuff out there to keep people like talking about Beyonce and stuff like that, because, you know, those they're going on tour and those tickets ain't selling. So like they want people to be talking about Beyonce and JT and stuff like that. And I'm kind of starting to believe it because like, why would Tiffany Haddish just continue to like keep talking about this stuff? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's something else that's going on.
You know, and that's a very, very astute observation, Dex. Good job. Speaking of astute, it's time for Dex's BS report.
I'm just going to give you guys one today. And this one is in honor of Holy Week. For those of you who think gospel music is taking it too far, I want to give you guys a BS report for today. So there was there's a woman, Dakita Jones. Yes, Dakita Jones, who was driving, and she wanted to teach her kids a lesson. They were talking so much about the Lord and they were questioning the existence of God, and she was like, no, God is real, and I want you guys to always know that God is real. So she crashed her car into a tree and she told her kids that, you know, you guys didn't die because the Lord protected us, and if one of you would have died when I crashed this car into the tree, it is because it was your time to come home and God makes no mistakes. Ladies and gentlemen, that has been your BS report.
He the boss was crazy. I don't know what the heck was wrong with him.
Goodbye.
He was tripping. Amen. And rest in peace. Did she get arrested?
She did get arrested.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's what you get for telling Jesus to take the wheel with kids in the car.
I see what you did there.
Time for seats, Bill.
Lord have mercy. It's time for seats. Part of the show where people who wear us out get a seat. And so today I don't have any seats because it's been a wonderful week.
Oh, amen.
I you got a seat?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Why you say yeah like that? You're mad.
No, I just think when people over apologize, it's like borderline offensive. Like, because then I feel like you think that I'm dangerous. And that's why you're like overly apologizing. So like this person was like, excuse me, and like bumped me by accident. I could like clearly it was the accident. I'm like, all right. He's like, no, man, I'm really sorry. Sorry, man. I'm like, what the hell was all that for? Like, I thought that was like extreme overkill. Now I think you're racist.
He's scared of you. Self-defense, Ty.
Not that sorry. Like, I didn't do, and it wasn't that serious. Like, it was like a bump. Like, in an area where there are a bunch of people walking by is a very real possibility that you could get bumped. Like, an excuse me, and I keep moving is just fine. Like, to stop me to overly apologize, like, what do you think I'm going to do? Do something to you in the parking lot? I'm not thinking about you. I think you're racist now. And therefore, you need a seat.
I have two seats this week. So my first seat is going to go. This is actually a really funny story. And I actually don't even know who the seat is for, but just everybody involved. So earlier today, I went to lunch at the Corner Bakery, and I stood in line or whatever. I was getting my food, and this woman older.
Did you get a BBLT? I like the BBLTs.
No, I get a chopped salad with no meat in it. So there was this elderly black woman. She came over. She had a jug in her hand, and she walked over to the soda machine. So the girl who's like taking my order, she turns to her coworker. She's like, "Oh, she's going over there to get soda. Can you stop her?" The other person tells somebody else to do it. And they were just like passing the buck. Like, you can tell me. So then at this point, like, I'm kind of a little bit closer to like the soda machine, getting hibiscus lemonade. You guys have to try this. It's the best thing. Like, on the menu, it's amazing. So I'm getting that. And then they finally, this young white boy is walking over to the woman or whatever while she's filling her cup up with like ice at the time. And he was like, ma'am, and she turned around and was like, I'm just getting some ice.
Yeah, she knows good like, damn well.
The funniest thing.
Did she run out the store?
No, she finished. And she left. But like when I tell you like that made my day, like it genuinely made my day. My other sheet though. So
This one sounds serious.
Yeah, it's a little heartbreaking. I really love Ashanti. I do. Like, she's a great singer, in my opinion. And I know a lot of other people give her flack. They give me flack for liking her or whatever. And I'm always like, I like what I like. I'm going to defend her because I like her. So a couple months ago, Ashanti released a single called Say Less. I didn't really care for the song at first, but like, I'm like, okay, like, I like you. I'll support it or whatever. A lot of people don't know about the song because Ashanti's
still independent. A lot of people don't.
Because Ashanti's still independent and she's not trying to sign to a label. Which I can understand. You don't want to sign to a major label because you don't want the 360 deal. Whatever, I get it. Your last CD was released independently and it didn't do anything. So you would think that if you release something this time, you would try to do something just a little bit different. But okay, I get you. You want to keep your money or whatever, but you can't keep anything that you're not making. But okay. So then Ashanti released this single or whatever 5 months ago. This past week, I saw that Ashanti was teasing a video for the single 5 months later. One. Two, who teases videos anymore? Like, it is 2018. Girl, we just drop them. That's just what it is now. There is no press tour. We don't do that anymore. It is not the early 2000s anymore. So, like,
hey, people just drop albums.
For that, you need.
Literally.
But my real reason for seeing Ashanti.
She dropped her album in the garbage.
My real reason for seeing Ashanti is that currently we're in the midst of the Me Too movement. Like, it is a big deal where women are genuinely standing on the necks of predators. And I applaud them for it. They should be doing that. Ashanti decided to speak about her Me Too movement. And I'm not denying that this girl has had it. I'm sure she's had it in the industry. But she told a story about how a producer said to her, like, I want you to take a shower with me. Ashanti said, no, I'm not going to take a shower with you. So the guy told her, you know what? Fine. Then the tracks you want from me, they're now $45,000. So Ashanti proceeds to tell her friends, or her, like, as she calls it, her big brothers, about the situation. They go and they take care of the situation for her. My reason that I have an issue with this is because you're telling us that you have your guys take care of the situation, but you won't reveal who this producer is. You're still protecting this man. And I have an issue with that because there are other girls who aren't stronger like you, who don't have like the big brothers that you have, and they're going to sleep with this man or get taken advantage of because you're not warning them and putting this out there. Stand on his neck, Ashanti. And that's it.
Wow. That was something. I don't even have a way to follow that up, so I'm not even going to say my seat. Dex, wow. I never thought I'd see the day where you just turn on one of your faves. You've done that to Drake and Ashanti on this.
One more seat I have. People just got to stop being nasty. People just got to stop being nasty. I had a friend, two friends actually, tell me stories today about coworkers. One story, I have a friend who's living a vegan lifestyle. So she was out at a work function and our coworker, she ate a veggie burger and she was like, oh, this doesn't taste like a veggie burger. It's like way too good to be a veggie burger. So her coworker decides to try the sandwich herself, picks up my friend's sandwich and takes a bite of it. And you don't do shit like that. Like, that's not okay. One. I have another friend who told me to
fine.
Took a bite of the sandwich. And then,
is that how the plague started?
You know that's how the black plague started.
Took a bite of the sandwich. And then when the server came around, they asked, like, is this a veggie sandwich? And the server was like, oh, yeah, it is. It's a veggie burger. The coworker then tells my friend, oh, well, you can eat it now. It's a veggie burger. No. Then I have another friend who told me a story today about his coworker giving him cookies, using their hands to touch this man's cookies. You can't do stuff like that. Like, that's not okay. Stop being nasty. See, and now I'm done.
That's like, listen, Dex, that's like that time I went to Cracker Barrel and I ordered some grits and there was something black in my grits. And the woman gonna tell me, oh, it was probably just sausages. I didn't even order no sausage.
I don't know. Rat dropping like
Yeah, people do that at my job. Like, yeah, you want some? And then hand the back. I was like, do you think I'm digging my hand in there? I was usually like, what is that?
Sausages.
That's different. I'm like, well, I mean, I just think that there are just certain differences. I don't know if they're cultural or just the way you were raised. It's just,
people are nasty.
VV nasty. All right. Speaking of VV, don't forget to VV, like, subscribe, tell a friend, and comment about the show. Very, very. I just like saying it because people put in emails. This has been another edition of Bro Talk Live. Go to brotalklive.com. Click on the store link. Buy something that you like. Also, check us out on Instagram and Twitter if you're not following us there as well. Tell a friend to watch the show. That way we can get our numbers up. All right, Bro Talk Live. Do you guys have any final comments?
No.
Good to go. Hearts and minds clear. All right. For Dex, for Ty, for Bill, this has been another edition of Bro Talk Live. My name is Jason. Stay tuned because up next we got Women Crush Wednesday tomorrow. Throwback Thursday on Thursday. So we'll see you then on Instagram. You guys have a wonderful week. We out.